is Pastor Tony Alamo again, and we're going to be doing part four of Another Pearl Harbor. And we also have a couple of letters to read, but right now, before we get going, I want the Holy Spirit to anoint me outwardly that I'll be able to have the proper commentaries as we read along here for the soul, you souls out in the world and in the church, to be edified, and for souls to... Father, we ask that the Spirit, your Spirit, opens up their spiritual mind, their ears, so that they can hear and understand. And Lord, open up their ability to see spiritually, their spiritual eyes, so that they can hear. That that souls will be saved in the world and begin understanding the horrible lie that they're living in. This world system has caused them to believe that it's all right to starve people to death right on national, international television, and to dehydrate them, that this is the proper thing. This is Nazi, Catholic Nazi Germany. This type of things, euthanasia, that it's all right for people to help people commit suicide, euthanasia, instead of praying for them, leading them to the Lord, then praying for them to be healed. It's just like that's totally not in the minds of the people of the world today. They just don't believe God at all. And you people, the people out there in the world that are allowing people think that you're going to commit suicide so you can get away from suffering, you don't realize what you're getting yourself into, because the things that you're going through on this side of eternity is nothing in comparison to what you're going to go through on the other side. In the Bible says, if you murder anybody, including yourself, that no murderer shall enter the kingdom of God. And you doctors that think that you're really being benevolent, this is a Nazi way of thinking, and you're going to go to a very bad place after you die. And you know, all of us could die at any time. I saw on the news where a bunch of people tore a goalpost down, and the goalpost hit a person and killed him. And they went right to they didn't think that they were going to die and go to wherever they're going in eternity, probably hell, because a true Christian is not involved or entangled in any of the affairs of this world, including sports. I mean, it's all right to work out a little bit and stay in shape, of course, because the Bible says so, and God has instructed me to do so too, to just make sure that I exercise a little bit and eat properly. But Father, we ask that you pour out the spirit of common sense, godly understanding, wisdom, and knowledge on people, to where they will receive the truth, your word, that they might be saved, and that they will stop this nonsense, this horrible sin of murdering one another and murdering all these children, these babies, unborn babies, and anybody that is so ignorant to think that your body is your own. This is the lie. The Lord says that he created us to serve him in these bodies, and the Lord wants you to live in these bodies. This is the Lord speaking to you through me right now. He wants to live inside your mortal body by his Spirit, and he wants to live in you and say his words through you, and he wants to give you the power to be able to keep all the commandments while you're doing so. And he wants to be able to talk to you, and he wants to be able to talk to you in the morning. He wants to be able to talk to you throughout the day. He wants you to open your Bibles in the morning and read to him, of him, so that you are able to conduct your life during that day in the Spirit, because the words in the Bible, the Word of God is God. The Word of God is Spirit, and it's life, and it is able to give you the fuel, spiritual fuel, to stay spiritual toward during each day. And Lord, we pray that you'll open up all this to everyone and anoint, and let everything that's said on this tape be directly from the throne of God in heaven right now, this moment, and let it be very active in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, and in the church, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Then what? Where's the first letter from?
From Concepcion, Chile.
Okay, what do they say?
May the peace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thank you so much for the love and faith you have shown toward us. Though we don't know each other personally, we know each other spiritually by the faith of Jesus Christ. We have received the wonderful blessings of the biblical materials, which are a great benefit to our ministry. In this way, we can fulfill the vision that our Lord gave us to evangelize the world through your biblical materials. Along with my wife, we go out and preach the gospel on the streets of this city. Today we visited the jailhouse of the city here in Concepcion, Chile. The jailhouse is divided into different units, numbered from 1 to 10. Unit 6 is especially notoriously insolent, but it has its own chapel. And while the inmates gather out on the yard belonging to their own units, the brothers preach the gospel to them. I rejoiced today as I heard the testimony of a young man by the name of Felipe, who before he came to Christ had set himself on fire and burned his legs and other parts of his body, suffered burns as well. He also amputated one of his fingers and sent it to the judge who was analyzing his case because he was desperate and wanted his sentence reduced. Needless to say, it did not help him. But one day the brothers were preaching about Jesus, and there he tearfully accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart, and the Lord healed his wounds and his pain. Glory to Jesus forever! Amen. Now Brother Felipe has requested a Bible from us, and in faith believing, we told him we would get him one. He has one that he has borrowed, so Brother Tony, it is for this reason, for him and others, that we request Bibles, literature, Messiah books, and the Pope's secrets, all in Spanish. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you. Greetings from my wife, Celinda, and the rest of the brothers here. There is power in the blood of Jesus! Amen. Samuel from Concepcion, Chile.
Praise the Lord. What a great testimony. And I'd like to see him get one of these tapes to let him know that we've read this, that you've read that on this program, and then also make sure he gets all the literature necessary, the things that he asked for. I'm sure they've sent all this already, but okay, so let's go. You know, we really sent a lot of, distributed a lot of literature in Miami, Florida, and the Keys, and up and down Fort Lauderdale, and all these different places, with a piece of literature that I've written called Earthquake, which we just recorded a few days ago, and it didn't repent at all, and here they are getting it again. And, you know, the things that you're seeing in the world happening today are nothing in comparison to what's coming. One-third of the whole world population is going to be smitten and killed, which is around 2 billion people, and the Bible also states that one-half will be killed with some other plagues, and so you know, there's a lot of woe going to happen to the earth. The Bible says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because Satan has been loose on the face of this earth. It used to be that he was able to go up to the throne of God and make petitions, like he'd say, you know, let me have at Job, because, you know, if you take the hedge down away from him, he'll curse you. And he won't be your servant anymore. So the Lord allowed him to do it, but he said, you can't take his life. Well, now he can't approach God any longer. He can't go to the throne. He's been cast down to earth, and he's got to stay here and all these angels. And he knows that his time is short, and that's why he knows he's going to be in hell in the lake of fire very soon. And that's why he's full of wrath, and he's causing... And he's come out of the closet, too. He's not being cool any longer, you know, real subtle. He's just coming out and letting you know, I don't want the Bible in school. I don't want anybody in courtrooms to even mention the name of God, or we'll get you for contempt of court. Don't you dare read that Bible. Don't you dare pray. Don't you do... This is Satan. Come against that weasel, because this the Lord has destroyed him. Don't be afraid of him, because the Bible says that the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be afraid of Satan. The Lord has already destroyed this weasel. These people that, because of the fact that they get to be president, the Vatican has made them some big, supposed to be big, they give them a title, and that they get to sit in that decrepit White House that's full of rats and they can't even get rid of them. I mean, really, I mean, it said in the newspaper, the Washington newspaper, that it's infested with rats. God has actually cursed that place because of all the evil that's been done in there. So, you know, just pray that God will pour out his wrath on... first of all, we pray that everyone will get saved, but if they don't, you have not seen anything yet as to what the Lord is going to do to this earth. He promised it. And look, this is the beginning of sorrows. There's no peace on earth. Now people are more afraid of God. They call him Mother Nature. And natural disaster, but it's supernatural disaster. They're more afraid of God as a terrorist than they are these little men that blow up a bus here and there. The Lord blows up whole cities, and also is going to move the world right off of its axis. So you better fear him, and that's the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. You'll read that in the last part of the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen. Mm-hmm. The whole duty of man is to just fear God, the word, to do what it says so that you can get into heaven. Okay? Don't be like the little kids at the Easter egg hunt to go round and round and round and wet your pants when the Lord comes. All right? Because you say, well, why are you saying such things? And are you kidding in this reprobate world, the things that people say on television and everything? No, I'm just telling you something. They're advertising Pampers and everything. You better get a good supply of them for yourself. All right? Okay, now go ahead and let's. Where's the next letter from?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Accra, Ghana, okay.
Dear Pastor, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, in whom lies our hope. I believe by his grace the works of your ministry is progressing. May it continue to progress in Jesus' name. Pastor, this has been my first time of coming into contact with your literature entitled Troubles, and it has helped me a lot. I have read with keen interest this literature and have come to realize that some questions that were confronting me have been solved. Furthermore, this literature has not only answered some confronting questions, but it has restructured my lifestyle, thus my relationship with God. As a matter of fact, I hope to live by whatever I have learned in this literature. I also wish, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to help other people to know Christ. I would be very grateful if you could get me a Bible and literature to help me know the will of God and to distribute to those who are willing to know more about the Word of God. You could also add any literature or magazines that could be of help to my spiritual growth. May God bless you. Yours in Christ, Ephraim from Accra, Ghana, West Africa.
Ephraim, that's a real Hebrew name, amen?
Amen.
And it could be, you know, there's a lot of Hebrews that live in Africa. Africa is very close to Israel. Like, for instance, Egypt. That's northern Africa. All right, so now this is the fourth part, part four of another Pearl Harbor. Go right ahead.
According to an article entitled, quote, Waco and the Corruption of American Liberalism, unquote, by Llewellyn H. Rockwell, Jr., the media cooperated with the Clinton administration in an amazing cover-up of what was plainly evident. Far from investigating the fire and the lies of the White House, the media, propagandists, demonized the Branch Davidians and smeared anyone, the, quote, lunatic fringe, unquote, sympathetic with their plight. According to Mr. Rockwell's article and many others, these are the lies the propagandists have told you. The Bible says that only those who have chosen to become antichrists would do such a thing. Jesus said even Satan will not kill or cast Satan out of Satan-possessed people. Satan just wants to kill God's people, Jews, and everyone else who is not part of today's end-time antichrist movement.
Right. If we were of the devil, and if the Branch Davidians were of the devil, or George, or this Jones outfit, or whatever they do, If we were of the devil, then why would the devil persecute us? Amen?
Amen.
It isn't the Lord persecuting us, because Satan will not persecute Satan. Do you think that that the Vatican will persecute Hare Krishnas? No, they don't do that. They, as a matter of fact, you see the Pope, John Paul II, worshiping with them. And also demonic cults, they will not do it. They give them tax-exempt statuses. And they actually even give tax-exempt statuses to any sport. It's a different kind of sports, which is, you know, I don't know. They say, well, that's to promote health. Well, that's fine. But they will not prosecute anyone other than Christians. That's what the whole story is. They've nailed millions of them to the cross and burned them at the stake and cast them into the lions' dens to be slaughtered. That's Roman Catholicism for you. Evil. The most evil. There isn't even any words to express how wicked, how evil they are. And yet we preach the gospel to them and say to the people that are involved with Roman Catholicism, come out of her, my people, God says, and be separate from them and holy, because I am holy. It's a sin to murder people. You shouldn't murder people. If I was so wrong, then try to convert me, okay, because that's what we try to do to them. And we've been successful in splitting that cult right down the middle. They used to boast of 1 billion people in that cult, and now they say, as of around 10, or I would say about 15 years ago, that I personally, as a minister of the gospel, has cut that cult in half, that they only had 500 million about 15 years ago. Well, now I pray that they're down a lot lower than that. And I see that we have created, God has created through us, a separation from there. A lot of people are understanding now that what I was saying about them is the truth. They've hidden all these child molesters in there. They don't prosecute them at all. They make up excuses for them. They're all hiding, all these priests, or a lot of them that were found out are now in the Vatican and hidden there, just as they hid the people that were with James Wilkes Booth that killed Abraham Lincoln. They spirited the rest of them across the border to Canada, and then they went from Canada into the Vatican and they protected them, just as they did John Paul II, who you'll see the story on that in one of the pieces of literature that I've written entitled Fugitive Pope, The Fugitive Pope, where he used to make the cyanide gas that murdered the Jews. And he worked for I.G. Farben, the one that made the cyanide gas. I.G. Farben now makes a lot of pharmaceutical things in the United States, in Germany, and all different places in the world. It's a huge company that poisons people through different types of medicines. And so John Paul II, when the world war was Second World War was over with, he fled to Argentina because he didn't want to be any part of the Nuremberg trials. He didn't want to be captured. And he was just a priest at that time. And when he went to Argentina, the Vatican pulled him in, or her in, because he was a homosexual. And he was a child molester as well, because the people in Krakow, Poland, used to throw oily rags at him, because in their different factories, they had daycare centers there, and he would go into the daycare center and as a priest, and a lot of the children were saying that he was fondling them. And so when they would report that to their moms and dads, and they were working at the machinery, that when he would be walking in or out of the place, they'd throw oily rags at him and to try to get him out of there. But the people that ran the factories, they were threatened if they ever did any harm to the priests that they would close the factory down, so they didn't do anything to him. Well, anyway, he began helping to make the gas, and he was a cyanide gas salesperson to Krakow in Krakow, Poland, there where the where they have all these concentration camps. And he helped to murder many millions of Jews and other people. And so they hid him in the Vatican, and that's the way they do their people. You saw Michael Jackson. I don't agree with Michael Jackson at all, especially him being a Jehovah's Witness and everything else. That another cult. Boy, if you want to get in a good argument, talk to one of those. But I don't agree with him at all, but why don't they rake these priests over the coals like they did him? All right? Because that isn't justice and judgment and equity to just prosecute one child molester, but you're to nail them all, right?
Right.
And remember, children, when a woman gets to the age of puberty where she can have children, that she's not any longer to be called a child. Because that's another thing that people need to get straightened out, is that, for a good century or two, people have been marrying in the United States at the age of puberty, 12, 13, 14 years old, the women. My grandmother was one of them. And that's the law in many states today, that you could get married if you have parental permission. But the Vatican wants people not to be married until they're 18 years old. By that time, you're not going to have many virgin wives at that time. They're committing fornication in schools at 6 and 7 years old nowadays, and even probably younger. In India, 5 years old. And this is definitely a sin, so you have to wait until you reach puberty. All right, now, so this is a subject that is a complete other subject. I've written a piece of literature called Legally Married at Puberty. But that's another story. But here we are again with part 4 of another Pearl Harbor.
I've been told by many hundreds of soldiers that most of the servicemen are on drugs and really don't know what they're doing.
Right. Well, now they're wising up over in Iraq. There's big documentaries where the soldiers saying, what are we doing here? These people are not doing anything to us, and they're fighting back because we would fight back, too, if they were trying to do to us in the United States what we're doing to them over here. They're not doing anything wrong, and we're over here because of a lie that Mr. Bush received from one of his compadres. And what are we doing here anyway? We're getting killed, and we don't know what to do. Why are we here? They have no idea. And it's just the Vatican wants to take over every country in the world, and everybody believes that it's because of the oil over there. It's just a power-hungry thing that Satan is wanting to do in these last days just before the Lord comes back to earth. It's his last shot at being the world leader, the ruler of the world. But he's not making it. A lot of people, millions of people, do not believe this regime any longer because they came out of the closet, and everybody can see that it's bogus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Some of them have told me they feel that they are being sent into battle to be killed, to diminish America of its manpower, so that either China, Russia, or some other Pope-controlled country can invade the United States.
Well, what they really want is they want to get all the industry out of the United States so that these supposed to be, quote, elite, unquote, can have a nice park-like place to live. So being it is that they're the ones that are the head of all commerce, you can't even get a job unless you do things their way. But, of course, there's no rules when it comes to them. They don't even pay taxes, the Vatican, here in the United States. And they're immune from being prosecuted here in the United States. They make the rules. But, you know, this is why it's very important for us to have a country that is separate from all the other countries, and God did that at the Tower of Babel. And it's supposed to be a country that's of the people, by the people, and for the people, not of the Vatican, by the Vatican, and for the Vatican. And you don't, it's not, so here we have now a regime that's saying you can't read the Bible. They've taken away your freedom of religion and put in evolution, a comic book in place of, which is not a comedian type thing. It's not funny, because the things that they're causing you poor people out there to believe with your mini minds. You know, all of our minds are miniature. We need to put on the mind of Christ, the Word of God, the Bible, and then you'll be able to think straight. People wonder, well, what should we do? Read the Bible and start doing everything that it says. Get your mind filled with the Word of God, and that's how you put on the mind of Christ. And then, and only then, will you be able to think rationally. And then, and only then, will you have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So do it today, and get yourself saved, and get yourself under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is spirit and life. Okay, let's continue on here.
They've also told me that in Vietnam they were not to fire back at those who were shooting at them. They said they were given insufficient amount of bullets.
Right, there's now 10 women to every man, at least, in the United States. 10 women to every man, because they're killing off our manpower so that we can't defend our nation. Not that I'm saying that we should with firearms defend it, but if we got a hold of law, if everyone was saved, and the majority of the people got saved, we pray to God, and God will come down against any of our enemies and destroy them. That's the truth. But that's what their strategy is to get all of our manpower killed off so that we're vulnerable to their troops when they come in. And then they're going to force everybody into just doing what they want you to do. Just like they just make up any kind of accusation against me, and many other people, when they took me and many other people to court, and they say, now you can't say any good works, your attorney cannot say any good works that you've done. If he does say any of the good works that you've done, well, then we'll bring in this string of liars to lie about you to the jury. And the jury doesn't know you from Adam, because I don't live in Memphis, and there's none of my peers there. So they took me from California and took me into Memphis, Tennessee. I had some property, the church did, in Nashville, Tennessee, but I didn't know anybody in Memphis except Elvis, and Elvis was dead, and a few people in the music industry, and that's it. And they tried me in there and brought in a whole string of liars and former members of our church that had fallen away, that decided to go on drugs and be involved in fornication and adultery. And they just were paid. They were threatened that they should go to prison or testify against me the way they wanted them to. And when they did, they sent me off to prison for a 6-year sentence, and I got out in 4 years. It was for the gospel, is what it was, because they do not like my message. And I'm sure this message is very shocking to some of you people, but it's very shocking to them too. They want to do everything they can to stop me. And they even for years cut me off being on radio and television, because they hate my message, because it's true and they're false and they know it. Okay, then continue on.
They said they were given insufficient amount of bullets, 3 a day, while the enemy had as many as they needed. Other members of our nation's military forces have told me that during Desert Storm, they were gassed by our own military with some form of chemical warfare. They say they never have one moment of relief from the pain of their illness, but the government will not compensate them for it.
They won't let them have money to get doctors or anything. One of them was a prison guard. His name was Niemeyer, in the prison over in Texarkana, Texas. And he told me, he says, Tony, I don't have one more. He was one of the guards in the prison. He said, I don't have 1 minute of peace. He says, I hurt all the time. I'm in constant pain. And I says, well, you know, the government sent you over there. Won't they give you treatment? He says, no, they won't give us any treatment whatsoever. Nothing. And I've seen it, you know, people deathly sick in prison and they won't treat them. They have a hospital in Springfield, Missouri, and one in Rochester, I think it's Minnesota. And a friend of mine, Liam Hamilton, he had a horrible liver problem. As a matter of fact, he died at the age of 22 or 23, and they would not treat him. Would not treat him until he was almost dead. It was too late. He was so desperate that a friend of mine in prison, who was a doctor, he wanted him to operate on him with knives, forks, and spoons, and the doctor, my friend, refused to do it. The doctor was the father of one of the biggest movie stars in the world today. Okay, so let's continue on. This is a horrible, satanic, Roman Catholic-led government, this world system today. The Lord said that she is a mother of every abomination on the face of this earth, and people are going to get so fed up with her that they're going to burn her up. It's God that's going to put it in the hearts of the people in Europe, all the different nations there, to come up against that organization and burn it to the ground. And the people are going to weep and wail and howl, those that have made millions of dollars and billions of dollars off of this, what God calls the whore, this whorish religion, false religion, this cult. They're going to weep and wail when that happens. All right, continue on.
One of these soldiers who told me these things was a guard named Niemeyer at FCI, the Federal Correctional Institution in Texarkana, Texas. He said the government is unwilling to help him in any way. After I had been greatly lied about in the courtroom and imprisoned on false charges of tax evasion, I met several of the Branch Davidians in prison. They told me that every time they tried to surrender for something they hadn't done, something that the government fabricated about them, the soldiers would keep shooting at them. According to the Branch Davidians, David Koresh was shot 3 different times when he attempted to come out of the building without firearms and while he was waving a white flag. I believed them because at the very same time the government was doing these things to the Branch Davidians, the government and the media were saying that I and the rest of our church had guns. The Branch Davidians were selling guns, but we have never owned a gun or possessed any carnal weapon. We don't even have a water gun on our property.
We don't even allow people to have a jackknife, you know, or a little toy water pistol. We don't allow any of that things because that would say, well, we thought it was real, so we killed your children. That's how wicked they are. Because they remember, they killed all the children there at the Branch Davidian. And they said that they committed suicide. They no more committed suicide. Those people were Seventh-day Adventists. They were a branch of the Seventh-day Adventists, and they did not believe in suicide at all. I've got a tape that shows the tank shooting flamethrowers. They threw this flammable gas into the place, and then they poked a hole through the wall and shot flamethrowers in there to ignite the flammable gas that they put in there, and that's what caused the fire. And they all fled from the house down into a tunnel that they had there. And then they started throwing gas bombs and everything in there. And the tape also shows that there are 3 or 4, I haven't seen it for a long time, of the different supposed to be American soldiers that got up on the roof. 3 of the soldiers got into the room, and then the 4th soldier took his machine gun and sprayed the room and killed the 3 fellow American, supposed to be American soldiers in there, and they blamed the Branch Davidians for killing them. And as you can see it right on tape. And then one of the people that they shot in there fired out at that guy, and it hit him on his helmet. It went through the wall and hit him on the helmet, knocked him out momentarily. And then it shows him passing out there for a few seconds, and he got up and then slid down the ladder and escaped while the rest of them were dead in that room that they crawled through on the second floor. This is a sick bunch of people, these Vaticanites. And especially when you give them a badge, a flashlight, and a club, and a whistle, you know, they really become megalomaniacs. There's a bunch of devils. Okay, then what?
Did Lee Harvey Oswald really kill President Kennedy? The answer is no! But at the time, the propagandists made everyone think so. Was Bobby Kennedy really shot by Sirhan Sirhan? I'm told that people who were present at the assassination said no! Ted Chirac, a friend of mine from my old entertainment days in Hollywood, was closely related to President Kennedy and his brother Bobby. Ted was the one at the time who had asked me to do the promotion for the Democratic Party. Ted has spent 35 years researching and analyzing the death of President Kennedy's brother Bobby. He told me while we were on the phone March 11, 2003, that he has hundreds of documents to prove that Sirhan Sirhan attempted to kill Bobby Kennedy, but that not one bullet from Sirhan Sirhan's gun entered Bobby Kennedy. Mr. Chirac told me that Bobby Kennedy was killed by his bodyguards, who were standing behind Mr. Kennedy, and he said he can prove it. Mr. Chirac also disclosed that two Los Angeles police officers, acting under department orders, burned 2,410 assassination photographs in a hospital incinerator before the trial. After the trial, the LAPD destroyed ceiling panels and door frames from the Ambassador Hotel pantry. These panels and frames proved that the bullets of Sirhan Sirhan were not found in Bobby Kennedy. Years later, Mr. Chirac recorded an album with many of the details regarding Bobby Kennedy's death. He also was very much involved in a motion picture entitled The Second Gun, Who Really Killed Bobby Kennedy, which received a Golden Globe nomination. He, with a journalist friend, has also written a book regarding this assassination, which is soon to be published. The book is entitled The RFK Assassination, Termination 2. Motion picture and book availability is footnoted. Mr. Chirac told me that both the movie and the book were loaded with hundreds of witnesses and facts. In 1969 or 1970, a group of men from Kennedy headquarters met me and my late wife Susan for dinner in a Newhall, California restaurant. Their purpose was to have me join them in a promotion which would expose these things about Bobby Kennedy's assassination. Susie told me to decline their offer. The reason I'm exposing these things now is to show that this and hundreds of other important newsworthy events have been covered up by the news media. Now, I never was that well acquainted with the Democratic Party, even though they asked me to head a campaign for them. I only followed...
Well, they wanted me to head the campaign for the entire Democratic Party. They were not just Ted Chirac says they wanted you to be the Democratic Party's promotion man to whoever they wanted to promote. They wanted me to do the promotion for them. And Mariotti said the same thing, Ted Chirac and... Walter Winchell, and a man named Bob Empson, who ran a restaurant on the Sunset Strip called the Steak and Stein. Okay, and then what else? They all came together, and the Kennedys asked me to come downtown for a meeting with some of their people, and I went there, and three of them were just really badgering me to do the promotion for the whole... for the Democratic Party. And I declined because I didn't know anything about politics at that time. I've gone through finishing school, though, for the past 41 years, and I know this was before I was saved when they were asking me all this, and then later on, after I was married to Sue and saved, then they came back to me again and asked me to do the promotion because they know that we distribute these leaflets by the hundreds of millions, and so they thought that we'd be the perfect people that I'd be the perfect person to get these the truth of this out on people's vehicles and on the streets. And I said, well, I can't do it because my wife doesn't want me to, but if you guys are going to do it, I would suggest that you do it real fast, because if they think you're going to do this and you don't act fast, they'll kill you, because they're known for it. All right, go ahead.
I only follow politics from afar to see how scripturally close we are to the end of time. I wouldn't be a very good servant of the Lord if I didn't keep you abreast of how close it is to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Creator and Savior of all those who come to Him for repentance and salvation. I also wanted to show you how the news media covers up things and can overwhelm the entire world with their lies and propaganda. Did the destruction of both the federal building in Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center in New York really happen without some of our government officials being greatly involved? The answer is no! Hundreds of witnesses say that government agents were not only involved, they placed several other bombs in the buildings as well. These witnesses say that it would have been impossible for the federal building in Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center buildings to collapse as they did without there being many other bombs in the buildings. But why would the infiltrators in our federal government want the federal building in Oklahoma City blown up? I'm told that many eyewitnesses have reported to the Freedom Network News and the Strategic Investment Newsletter that it was because evidence pertaining to both Waco, Texas, and Mena, Arkansas had been stored there. If this is true, then it is clear that some of Rome's Vatican saboteurs in our government didn't want even one shred of the evidence that pointed to them to be known, even if it meant blowing those 169 men, women, and children to pieces.
But the truth came out with John Peeler's letter to me and my expose, his expose on the federal government. And but the real reason of it now we find out after these 2 years is that they wanted to start a war. Just they wanted another Pearl Harbor. They said, we need another Pearl Harbor in order to get the troops in the United States to go over and start ruling other countries for the Pope. Because the American people will not fight unless they get really ticked off. And that was what happened in Japan, over in Pearl Harbor, when they bombed that place. Here was just a bunch of guys just playing cards and laying around doing nothing, and they don't want to fight anybody. But when that happened, everybody wanted to go to war, and they knew that that would happen, and that's why FDR did not want to let them know that it was going to be bombed, because he was in on it. You don't think the White House is in on this stuff? You're out of your mind. There's no way that if we had proper security and everything, and they want you to lose confidence in the government. They really don't. You know, these presidents, they don't care. They're paid very well to take all the heat from the American public, and they're paid very well for the position that they're given, and they're promised immunity. Whenever they go anyplace, you can see jet fighters all over the sky just protecting them, and they've got like huge many different bodyguards around them, and all, you know, they're completely protected. So this is what they want. They want to they thought that the Oklahoma federal building would cause people to want to go to war, but that didn't do it. So they tried once before to get this World Trade Center blown down. Then finally they had a bunch of demolition men that were federal government agents in there, and they set these blasting caps off on many different floors so that when those planes would hit, they had it timed exactly, because these were not airplanes, according to videotapes that I have, that these are rockets, and they were set there by automation. What do they call that?
Remote control.
Yeah, they were sent there by remote control exact time. And that's the exact time that all the blasting caps. They had somebody in the neighborhood that had the pump and pushed down or pressed the lever, whatever, or pushed the button. and all of the blasting caps went off, and the building pancaked down. Now, anybody that's seen the Dunes Hotel blown up or one of the other hotels in Vegas can testify that the World Trade Center went down the same way those hotels do. But they drew the attention away from that there were blasting caps there on many floors. So they had these rockets, not airplanes, because the videotapes that we have show that these rockets didn't have any windows in them. And so they had to have been sent there by remote control. And so that definitely ticked a bunch of people off. And just everybody had their head turned while it could happen. They saw federal FBI people coming out of there before that happened. They just cleared. It just so happened that all the FBI people were out of that building in plenty of time to get out of the building and down the block, or wherever they were going. All right, let's continue on, please.
I'm told by many sources that many eyewitnesses told these things to the FBI. These witnesses stated that the FBI said they would kill them if they ever told anyone else the things that they had told them.
Well, I even heard that on the air when I was in the hole. I had a little radio in Fort Worth where I was there going for a parole hearing. And I heard these people on the radio saying, we went to the FBI, and they were saying that if we say, you better keep your mouth shut about this, because this is business that is confidential, you better keep your mouth shut. And so they got infuriated, and they told it on the radio station. And I heard it. There's too much of this going on for you people to claim that you're ignorant when you stand before the judgment bar of God. And you people that are in the government, and that you're people that were involved in this thing and that you know what's going on, you better come forward and tell it. You know, and you better repent of all your sins, because God sees everything that you've done and everything that you're doing, so don't do it anymore. And I'm saying this to President Bush and all the people in the Vatican, get your soul saved. I mean, this isn't, you're not going to think that what you're doing was worth it when you stand before the judgment bar of God. You're going to be so sorry if you don't repent now and ask the Lord to come into you. Be better that you get a little farm someplace or something, and, you know, milk cows or whatever. Get some chicken eggs, you know, some chickens. And just, you know, what good is all the money anyway? It's just in the bank and you can't spend it, because then people would know that you were a thief, you know, that you definitely, there's something wrong with you. So just, you know, come on, settle down and get saved, and don't go to church, you know, for a photo opportunity. Go to church to worship the Lord. Amen? That's what you're supposed to be doing. And don't tell a bunch of unsaved people to pray to God, because God doesn't hear the prayers of unsaved people. You must be born again of the Spirit and of water, and then you must have the Spirit of God move into your body and get your so that you have the power to keep the commandments of the Lord, and so that you have the power to withstand, to don't care whether somebody's going to kill you because you're telling the truth. Because I know the minute that the breath goes out of my body, I'm going to be in heaven, and whoever does that to me, you made my day. You made my day, because that's where I want to be anyway. But you, my friend, if you don't repent, you're going to be in hell. You're going to look up and see how I'm kicked back and just enjoying myself up there while you're screaming your fool head off and gnashing on your teeth and chewing on your tongue for the pain and writhing in pain and knowing that it's never going to end forever and ever and ever. Okay, continue on, please.
These grieving, pitiful people apparently believed that they would find some sympathy and some retaliation against those who killed their wives, their children, and their husbands. What a rude, crude, and sad awakening for the families of the victims to realize that their fellow government co-workers are saboteurs who are not at all concerned about the members of their families and are not at all concerned about law or America. How sad to realize that they would go to such an extent to cover up the crimes of the Waco massacre and the proof of the illegal drug trafficking which involved high government officials in Mena, Arkansas. President Clinton, a Roman Catholic who poses as a Baptist, was one of them. Two videotapes, an expose on President Clinton when he was the governor of the state of Arkansas, were taped and narrated by some of his closest cabinet members, namely Larry Nichols, the former director of marketing for the Arkansas Finance Development Authority, Judge Jim Johnson, former Arkansas state senator and former member of the Arkansas State Supreme Court, Jerry Parks, Bill Clinton's campaign headquarters security chief, Bill Dannenheyer, a United States congressman, Bill Duncan, the IRS Treasury agent in charge of the MENA investigation, Russell Welsh, the Arkansas State Police investigator in charge of the MENA investigation, Doc DeLauder, another Arkansas State Police investigator, Charles Black, the Polk County Deputy Prosecuting Attorney, and State Troopers Larry Patterson and L.D. Brown. The videotape's availability is footnoted. These tapes state, among many other things...
Well, it's footnoted in the piece of literature, but we're probably not going to read it on the... Well, can you read that on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. It's, quote, Bill Clinton's circle of power, unquote, and then, quote, Bill Clinton's rise to power, quote...
These are videotapes?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Quote, the Clinton Chronicles, unquote, and, quote, the new Clinton Chronicles, unquote. They can be ordered from Citizens for Honest Government at P.O. Box 220, Winchester, California, 92596-0220, or call 1-800-828-2290. These tapes state, among many other things, that Clinton had a great part in the smuggling of $100 million worth of cocaine a month and transportation of weapons out of Mena, Arkansas to Nicaraguan Contras. There are billions of deceived people in the world, and they are dangerous because they've been brain damaged by the devil's world system. If you're a member of Christ's body, then surely you must know that the only way we have superiority over them is in Christ and His Word. We are not allowed to fight them carnally. Besides, what good would that do?
And we need to pray for them that they get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because no matter what they've done, the Lord will forgive them and drown all their sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness and never remember them against them any longer if they go and sin no more and they start doing the will of the Lord, you start confessing these things and bring it to an open... To everybody to show what hour we're living in. Okay, and then what?
They are far more than the hairs on all of our heads. There's only one way to fight them, and that is to call on God. God is stronger and more powerful than everything in the universe.
Or we can witness to them, too, and they see that they get saved. Maybe they will get saved. That's why I'm bringing these messages, so that if they are so blind that they can't tell what they've done and how evil it is, then I have been commissioned... to tell, and I pray that they'll receive it. Okay, then go ahead.
God is stronger and more powerful than everything in the universe, including all the people on the face of this earth. It may seem to many that we're a minority, but with God, we're more than all the people in the world.
They say, you know, if God be with us, who could be against us? The whole world cannot be against us, because we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
God shows us clearly how to fight. He says, quote, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things,
unquote. He says, I will hear you and answer you, you know. And that's why the psalmist David says, I love the Lord because he heard me. He hears me. And he'll hear you, too, if you call to him for salvation. And you'll be very, very happy that you did. It's the best and only real good move that you could ever make in your life. Excellent move. Okay, then what?
That was Jeremiah 33, verse 3, the solution. If you want something done about the evils that are happening all over the world, if it's your desire to see the eyes of the people in the world opened so the light of God can shine into their darkness, you need to preach the word to them.
You need to learn the word first before you start preaching. You need to get saved even before you start preaching, because 99% of these preachers today are not saved, and they are preaching false doctrine. they're not of the Lord. They're the great falling away. Then what else?
And you also need to pray to God to avenge us of our enemies.
Oh, I pray that they'll get saved, too. Because if they get saved, then they'll be not our enemies, but they'll be our allies. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Those who get saved will no longer be our enemies, but our brothers and sisters. So let's cry out to God in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus to destroy all the evil in the world. Let's pray that all the evil people of the world will be saved, or that God will take vengeance upon them for not repenting. All those of us who are now...
Yeah, we can see God doing that now with these tsunamis and these hurricanes and earthquakes and the different diseases that people are catching. These all, God says, are coming from Him. Read the book of Revelations, the Revelation of John, and you'll see that these things were predicted. Read the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Read the book of Genesis, where the Lord destroyed the whole world, and also Sodom. And God does these things, and He sent hornets to drive the giants out of the Holy Land. And just, I mean, there's hundreds of accounts of the Lord cursing people, and thousands of accounts also of the Lord blessing people for doing what He commands them to do. Okay, then what?
All those of us who are now saved were at one time evil ourselves.
Amen. Well, listen, I see that our time is up, and, you know, I just want to get this entire, another Pearl Harbor to you folks so that you can really get your head screwed on right, amen? You get yourself, your soul, your spirit, your mind all set for the judgment, or to be, for the Lord to say, come in, my good and faithful servant, well done. You're not going to want to stand before the Lord if you're not born again of the Spirit. Say the sinner's prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. Come, and I believe God raised Him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says that You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You have heard me, and I know You have answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now just raise your hands and say, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Our time is up. This is Pastor Tony Alamo, and don't fail to tune in tomorrow because we're going to be doing part 5 of Another Pearl Harbor. Till then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.